Today we look at the prophetic test, and these are the words the Lord speaks over us. The Lord speaks over you as well. And so when we look at this, realize we're looking at what the Lord has given to all of us, a special message from Him. So we're going to read Psalm 105, verse 1, we're going to start with. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His word together. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look, the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgments He pronounced. You, His servants, the descendants of Abraham, His chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever, the promise He made for 1,000 generations, the covenant He made with Abraham, the oath He swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them, for their sake He rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And He sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what was foretold came to pass. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. The king sent and released him. The rulers of the people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed, to instruct his princes as he pleased, and teach his elders wisdom. Father, we're grateful for Joseph and his ministry, but Lord, you've also given us a call. You've prophetically spoken over each of our lives. Father, help us to know what that prophecy is for each and every one of us, and help us to hold on to it through all the trials of this life until that which was spoken over us comes to pass. And Father, we'll give you the praise now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been talking these last several weeks now about going from our God-given dream, the prophecy spoken over us, to the reality of that dream coming. And every single born-again Christian, if you're here today and you haven't received Christ, I can't tell you the Lord's spoken over your life yet. He has a purpose for you, but really He speaks over us when we receive Christ and we get a revelation from God. We're going to look today at the fact of having our ears open to that and our eyes open so we can see and hear what God has for us. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has some good works that He's already prepared for you as an individual Christian to do during this life on the earth. He's already got it in mind. He's revealed it to you. But a lot of times people don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. The revelation stays kind of in a vague place. The Lord wants to speak into your heart to the point where you know what He's called you to do with this brief life He's given you. And I say brief life, The Bible says 70, which is 70 years, or 80, which is 80 years if by strength. And to a young person here, man, that's a long, long, long time. But when you get on the upper edge of that and you look back and say, boy, that was pretty short. I can't believe I'm here already. I can't believe that I've got great-grandkids. I just can't. It's beyond me to think, whoa, look at what's happened. 77 years are behind me now. If by strength I have 3 more, that'll be cool. Maybe there'll be more. Who knows? But I want to be sure that when this life is over, that I've done what God created me for. Do you know the greatest joy in your life is going to be the fulfillment of what God made you for? He made you for a purpose in Christ. Natural birth, He gave you certain natural gifts. Maybe your parents don't even have them. Maybe it's from a great uncle or somebody else in the family. But you've got an ability, maybe with your hands, maybe with your mind, maybe with your voice. And you've had that since the time you were a little child. And then you became a Christian a little later, and then God gave you spiritual gifts as well. Everybody has at least one spiritual gift. Many people have several. What the Lord wants to do is instruct you how He wants you to use what He's given you, natural and spiritual, to fulfill your purpose on this earth. If you remember, Uncle Mordecai said to Esther, the young gal, who knows, but well, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. You were not born the date of your birth by accident. God had that all planned out. He knew exactly which decades you were going to live in. And He's got a purpose for you. And our greatest joy comes when we not only find the purpose, but when we actually fulfill the purpose. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 2, I want to review again the dream that God put in Joseph's heart, and then we're going to review how he came to the fulfillment of that. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream that I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. God spoke through a couple of dreams to Joseph. Joseph, being a young man of 17, didn't know enough yet, maybe not to tell everybody exactly what God had given him as a dream, but Joseph was so happy with the dream he just couldn't resist, and it got him into a lot of trouble. Sometimes when God speaks something into your heart, maybe it's not the time to announce it to everybody. Rejoice in the dream. But sometimes you got to be careful who you share it with, because not everybody's going to be happy when the Lord's moving you ahead and holding them back. When our God speaks, He's spoken into each of our lives, but we have to have ears to hear, and we have to have eyes that can see what God's up to. Sadly, even though our Lord had given Joseph a dream, and he's given each of us a dream, many times those dreams, those prophecies, don't come to pass because we do not pass the character test that God gives us. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, our Lord Jesus said this, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Folks, it's important that we have ears that can hear. Only God can open our ears and our hearts. Only God can open our eyes to the truth. The Bible says this world walks in darkness, and they love the darkness. You go to a high school, and they're beginning to teach you biology. And they begin to teach that everything just evolved. There was a big boom and everything got better. Go out to their car. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. But if you were to do this, if you were to go out to your teacher's car, put a bomb in it and explode the car, how long would it take for that car to come back together and be even better? It never would it? Explosions tear things apart. They don't build things. Knowing that evolution cannot be true, and they do know it. I'm reading a couple books right now on evolution, and everything they've found has been a lie. Everything. They know it, but they still teach it. Why? Because they have a faith. They have a faith that there cannot be a God. There cannot be a creator. There's no purpose to this life, and they live that faith out even though they know what they're teaching is not true. What a shame. High school, college, doesn't matter where you go. It's being taught as fact, and the Bible says, "Beware of science, falsely so called." Science is observable and repeatable. If you can't observe it, anybody see a monkey turn into a man lately? Or a fish turning into a bird lately? I've never seen it. The Bible says every kind gets after its kind. That's what I see every place. I see monkeys begetting monkeys. Cats beget cats. That's what we see. And so we have to say what's being taught is not the truth. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2, "Good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemned those who devise wicked schemes." We need to look carefully at the dream that God gave to Joseph so that we can identify the dream God's giving to us. In Psalm 105, verse 16, "He called down famine on the land." Now, who called down the famine on the land of Israel? God did. "He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave." Who sent Joseph down to Egypt? You could say, well, his brothers did. No, God did. "They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Till what he foretold came to pass. Till the word of the Lord proved him true. That word foretold in verse 19 is debar in the Hebrew. It's used 1,441 times in the Old Testament. Foretold. God has foretold exactly what he's going to do through all eternity in his word. He's foretold it, but people in their blindness reject it. No, we're not heading for destruction as a world. We're just going to go on and on and on forever. No, we're not. Things are exactly as God said they're going to be. The verse says in verse 19, until the time that the spoken word over Joseph's life came to pass. So we've got the spoken word of God that gave Joseph a dream. In his dream, God spoke to him. But we've also got the written word of God now. Do you know until the spoken word of God comes true in your life, the written word of God is going to test you? It's going to test you to see, how is this young man or woman's character growing? Are they going to be able to handle the dream when it comes into reality? Or the word spoken over them when it comes into reality, is their character good enough to handle it for God's glory? If it is, you're going to come into that dream. You're going to come into that prophecy. But if it isn't, if your character, if you're not becoming more and more like Christ, if you're caught up in the flesh and the sins of this world, God's purpose for your life is not going to come to reality. Another person God will lift up to speak into that. So God has chosen and spoken something over your life. But now you have to get in line with God so that you get in line with his written word so that your character becomes worthy of coming into the promise. Every prophetic word must line up with God's eternal word. Every time you say, God spoke to my heart, or God has given me a dream. Now, maybe that dream and maybe that word did come from God. But there are other sources of words and dreams. Not every dream is a God-given dream, and not every word is a God-given word. So we need to wind up examining what the prophecy is, comparing it with the word of God. If the two don't match up, something's wrong. It's not a word from God. We're pushing forward to reach your destiny. You must learn the written word of God and come into conformity with it so that when that time comes, it did come for Joseph's life. Eventually, he stepped into what the prophetic dream was. When that time comes, if your character is not worthy, you won't come into the fruition of it. Our God still speaks today. He still gives dreams today. I've heard pastors say the Lord no longer gives dreams. The Lord no longer speaks. We're past that time. And then they'll turn right around and say, yes, the Lord called me into the ministry. Wait a minute. How did he call you into the ministry if God's not speaking and not giving dreams? I can still remember this day exactly how I came into becoming a pastor. I and Mimi were youth leaders at Trinity Baptist. We went to a youth rally that one night, and a man named Skitch Erickson, he was a sketcher, and he had a whiteboard, and he would be sketching and telling a story, and in the background, he had a tape playing. And in the tape, a young man cried out, "Can't somebody hear me? Can't somebody help me?" And the Lord spoke into my heart just like, it wasn't verbal, but he said, "Jerry, you can hear him, can't you?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I can hear him." "Jerry, you could help him, couldn't you?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I could help him." And I knew right then the Lord was calling me to some kind of a full-time ministry. I didn't know if it would be youth or pastor or what it was going to be, but he spoke enough to say, "Okay, Jerry, it's time for you to get prepared because I'm going to use you in a bigger ministry." I started to prepare. I watched my life because the promise must be received. Every promise God gives, whether it's salvation or using you in a ministry, it must be received by faith, and then you have to go after it because it doesn't just happen. You have a part to play too. The promise found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Most of us know this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Most people that go to a Bible preaching church know that. They've heard that. But how many of them have actually gone from hearing the word to moving to faith in the word? Many people that sit in gospel preaching churches year after year never get around to receiving by faith what God has spoken. You're not going to be saved just because you know the gospel. It must be received. And the same is true with the call of your life. The best way to be able to recognize the voice of God is to spend some time with Him just listening. So many people rush into prayer. They go down their list. We've got a list for you in your bulletin. You can go down that list. Lord, here's what we'd like to see. Here's what we'd like to see. Here's what we'd like to see. And you just take off. Yeah, of course, you do say in Jesus' name, amen. But when's the last time you sat for just a minute and said, Lord, your servant's listening. What would you have for me? Folks, the more you do that, the more you get accustomed to His voice, the more you're going to know when He's speaking into your heart. When Mimi calls me on the phone, I'll be out in my car heading for a next call that I'm going on, and she'll call because she's got a tracer on my phone. Jason put it on. She can tell wherever I am. So when I'm in a building and I'm doing a meeting with somebody, she doesn't call. But as soon as she sees I'm on the road, she calls me. And she says, hi, Jerry. She doesn't have to say it's Mimi. I know it's Mimi. How do I know? Because I've listened to her voice over 60 years now. I can tell her voice from every voice of every man and every woman in this world because I'm used to it. Do you know God's voice that well? Then when He speaks, you can say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I know it's you. I've heard you before. Folks, that's where the Lord wants you to get to. That takes some time. We're in such a hurry to take care of all the different things we have in this life, we have no time to sit and listen for God to speak. You don't have to sit there for an hour or two, but just a minute. Just say, Lord, I've told you everything that's on my heart. What's on your heart? God will speak. You'll be amazed. So, Samuel is a good example of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. In other words, not many dreams, not much revelation going on. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that they could barely see, were lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God was not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. And again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. My son Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there and calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sins he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Folks, Eli had God speak to him. God said, Eli, unless you get after those boys of yours, which were grown men by then, I'm going to judge your house. Eli heard, but he didn't do it. Folks, it's so important when God speaks to you, you take it serious, because God's still speaking. He doesn't want you to say, well, that's fine, just go ahead and bring judgment on my family. Folks, that's a terrible thing. The Lord wants you to listen to him so you can change your way, make corrections before destruction comes. Because the way of the transgressor is hard. Eli was in charge of his boys. His boys were the next priest in line, and his boys were doing terrible things. But he wouldn't stop them. Folks, when God speaks, you better be listening. It has repercussions. In Jeremiah 33, verse 1, while Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. That promise is not just for Jeremiah. That promise is for you. Call to him. He'll show you great and unsearchable things. You can't search it out. But God can reveal it. When's the last time you said, Lord, show me. I need to know about this thing that's happening in my life. What's the right way? James 1:5 says, if any man lacks knowledge, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it what? It shall be given him. Folks, that's wonderful good news. Anything you need to know, if you'll just ask. It's not too hard to ask. Lord, I can't figure it out. We're told in the New Testament scriptures not to despise prophecy. Prophecy is foretelling God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. We don't just, well, the pastor said it, and it's a prophecy, and so we just accept it. No, test them all. Hold on to what's good, because not everything a person speaks is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Three things I want to get through to you. When you get a prophecy, you need to know this is only part of what God has. No man has the full loaf of bread. We're given in a prophecy, in a dream, we're given a little part of what God is going to do. But if we're faithful in that little part that we are given, God will give us more. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't get the whole story from God. We just get what we need for now. And then when we're faithful in that, God will give more when we need it. So nobody has the whole thing. Joseph had two dreams. In those dreams, first, his brothers were going to bow down to him. In the second dream, his father and mother and his brothers were going to bow down to him. But he had no way of knowing how many others were going to bow down to him. The whole world, except for Pharaoh himself, bowed down to Joseph, because Joseph had the power to either let you starve to death or give you food. Folks, extremely important you understand, when God speaks, We don't get the whole thing. We get a part. And then God does more. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, you can rob yourself or you can come into what God has for you. It's your choice. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if, and this is so important, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do the good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Life has a way of discouraging you in the promises of God. Life wants to take your heart away from God and focus on this life. If you focus on this life primarily, and you are not focusing on eternal life, this life is going to rob you. You're never going to come into your fullness. Prophetic words are to be judged. Even your dream is to be judged. We don't take everything and say, well, the Lord spoke to me. You have to judge it. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. There have always been false prophets among us. Always. And so just because a pastor stands up and says, thus saith the Lord, you better examine it. You better compare it to what Scripture says. Because the Lord's never going to tell a man, I want you to leave your wife and I want you to marry another woman. Why is he never going to say that? Because God said, then the oath we take, till death us do part. And when a person gets a prophecy, they say, well, God told me. No, God didn't tell you that because it's contrary to his word. And so when a prophet speaks, you are the one that has to know the scriptures well enough to say either that is or that is not true. Folks, if you don't know the scriptures, you can be lied to every day. You can go right along with the crowd that's in the church you're in and never know you're not being told the truth. That's why it's so important to read the scriptures. Prophecy has a human element to it, and it has a divine element to it. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, if a prophet or anyone foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. The prophet or dreamer must be put to death for inciting rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt to redeem you from the land of slavery. That prophet or dreamer tried to turn you from the way of the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. Folks, there are still false prophets today. There are always going to be false prophets. And some of them are going to be given power. Now, as far as I know right now, nobody has the power miraculously to do things right now. But the power is going to be given to the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they're going to call down fire from heaven in the sight of everybody. Folks, it's going to happen. You can't follow a prophecy or a dream if what they're trying to tell you is contrary, again, to the Word of God. The false prophet's going to say you have to worship the beast. The Bible says anybody that worships the beast is going to be damned forever. It's a real miracle, but it's not of God. Satan has the power to do miracles, and he's going to do them in the tribulation time, and people are going to follow him, and they're going to reject Christ and believe in the false prophet because of miracles. Prophetic words are to be held onto. If they prove true, don't give up on them. This is so important because so many people get real close to getting the prophecy to come true, and because of the things that happen in life, they just fall away. They give up their faith. They begin to walk in this world. In Philippians 3, verse 12, "Now I have already obtained it, not as though I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Folks, it's important you don't give up halfway home. If God has really spoken into your life, "This is what I want to achieve in your life," don't give up on that dream. Hold on to it. Many people think, "Well, my wife said she's leaving, she's going to be gone." If God tells you she's not going to be gone, guess what? She's not going. It's an amazing thing. God can give us promises, but we have to hold on by faith. A couple men didn't hold on by faith. I want to tell you their story here in 1 Timothy 1:18. "Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected, and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." When we doubt God's word to us, we're blaspheming against the name of the Lord. Alexander and Hymenaeus stopped believing God's promise. They started chasing after the things of the world. Folks, you don't want to wind up where they're going to wind up. There's an old saying that says, "Never doubt in the darkness what God has revealed to you in the light." We all go through those times of temptation and darkness in life, but if God has spoken into your heart, something's going to happen. As long as you pass the test of character, it is going to happen. 2 Timothy 2:19. "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. When you get home today, and it comes to your mind, "Oh, there's this juicy little show on TV. I know it's a little racy. I know it's a little sexual observant, but I really want to watch that." You know what you're doing? You're robbing yourself of your dream. It's a test of character. Are you going to walk in obedience to the Lord so the Lord can bless you and use you the way He wants to? Or are you going to give in to the pleasures of sin for a season? The Bible warns us we can rob ourselves of God's richest blessing. In Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." When you know your propensity to a particular sin, when I got saved, I was into pornography pretty big time, and I knew I was having a real trouble with that. I began to learn every scripture that dealt with sexual sin. And then when Satan would try to attack me, I would quote him scripture. Guess what? After a while, he stopped attacking. I had success. And then, of course, there's another test. Even with our Lord Jesus, the Bible says Satan left him for a convenient season. He's not done yet. He knows you're weak in that area. He's coming back. But if you'll stand on the Word of God and know the Word of God, and by faith receive it, your eyes will be opened. Your ears will open. And you'll listen to what God says. And He'll give you all the power you need to overcome it. In Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. Every time I read that verse, I always think of that picture with Jesus standing outside the door and knocking. When you look at that picture next time, and you'll see it from time to time, I want you to look at the outside of that door and see if there's something quite unique about that door. You'll realize after a minute, there's no doorknob on the outside. You have to open the door to the Lord. When in your heart you say, Lord, I want your plan more than I want my plan, and you open the door of your heart to the Lord, He'll come in and fulfill every dream He's ever given you. You'll have passed the prophetic test, and you'll come into the fulfillment of what God has for you. It's different for you from anybody else that's ever lived. Now, some of the things are similar, but some of the things are very unique. And I want to see in my life the total fulfillment of what God has for me. Father, we're grateful for these tests. We're grateful, Lord, although they're painful at times, that, Lord, if we'll stay faithful to You, You've promised to stay faithful to us, to fulfill every dream and every prophecy You've spoken over our lives. Father, bring us into fulfillment of Your plan, that we might rejoice and give You the praise through all eternity for what You had in mind for our lives. And Father, we'll give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.